You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a win! The Rockets, without Chris Paul and Clint Capella, somehow, with James Harden scoring only 35 points, a relative off night by his standards, just beat the team with the most wins in the entire NBA. On that joyous note, welcome in to another happy post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Friday night, the Rockets are winners yet again, 121-119 over the Toronto Raptors. Houston improves to 28-20. The Raptors fall to 36-15. For the Rockets, they're now somehow 4-2 through this six-game stretch, expected to be at least 15, without Clint Capella. That had a lot to do with Kenneth Faried, who, in his first game starting at home in Capella's place, put up an astounding 21-14 in just 38 minutes. The Rockets, overall, coming off that 11-14 start, have now won 17 of their last 23 games. A lot of that has to do with James Harden, who, even on a so-called off night, 9-25 from the field, 2-13 from three. The Raptors, a lot of length. Also, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, able to defend him on the perimeter, in addition to the size they have on the interior. That forced Harden below his usual efficiency numbers, but still had 35 points, 7 assists. Rockets collectively, as a unit, had a lot of success. The supporting cast mentioned Faried. Also, Eric Gordon had 24. Austin Rivers, though he didn't get hot from 3, 1 of 7, still had 13 points, 6 assists. P.J. Tucker, 18 points, 4 of 8 from 3. And even though the Rockets, yet again, were too casual in closing out the game, were up by double digits with under 90 seconds left, and somehow the Raptors had the ball down only 2 in the closing seconds, and Kawhi Leonard got off a 3 that would have won it. In some ways, though, it was fitting, because in a game in which James Harden was not at his usual efficient self offensively, he actually closed it out on the defensive end because they got the switch. Initially, the Raptors down by 2 in the closing seconds. Rockets had a few brain farts again, most notably Eric Gordon stepping out of bounds unnecessarily, then forcing a 3 when he should have just been playing the clock and or waiting to be fouled. But at the last possession, no matter how it got there, the Raptors had it down by 2 points. Kawhi brought it up against P.J. Tucker. That's the matchup the Rockets want. Toronto got the switch. It was Kawhi on Harden, and Harden anticipating that Kawhi would want the 3 rather than be willing to drive and play for overtime. Harden defended him beautifully. If anything, it should have been an offensive foul that ended the game, but Harden's defense was so strong that ultimately the only shot that Kawhi could get off after pushing off a bit was an air ball. He was just going backwards. He had no leverage and ultimately wasn't even close, and the Rockets get the 121-119 win. And I know the finish was not pretty, but what I will tell you all is this is a win that I don't care what the final score is, I don't care how the final minute went, you should be damn proud of. Because when you are facing a team that went in 36-14, and by the way, they were 36-14, despite Kawhi Leonard missing their last four games, now they had Kawhi Leonard back to defend James Harden. He had a big part of why Harden went, just 9-25 from the field and 2-13 from three. You have that team, 36-14, as talented as it gets outside of the Golden State Warriors, rested. You're without Chris Paul. You're without Clint Capella. And the Rockets didn't even have a good shooting night. They were 10-46 from three. That's below 22%. So you didn't make threes. Harden didn't score 61 again. It wasn't as if you had some clutch plays late, because really, you were up by double digits until the final minute. You just had to hold on for dear life at the end. No, the Rockets got that game because they simply outworked the Toronto Raptors. There's been a lot made of this team, especially in this recent two-week stretch without Clint Capella, that they go as the threes go. And I think from a very macro perspective, that's fair. Tonight, that was not the case. James Harden made just 2-13 threes. Okay, well, he took 12 shots inside the arc, a relatively high number for him, and he made 7 of those, progressively got better as the game went along at that floater. Austin Rivers, who entered shooting just 1 of 13 from 3 in his last 3 games, appears to have been shaking off that right hand where for the last couple of weeks it appears he's been dealing with a jammed finger. He could not buy a 3 tonight, 1 of 7. Well, he was 5 of 7 from inside the arc, also had 6 assists, overall 13 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Even though the Rockets as a team were still out-rebounded 47-40 by a much larger Toronto team, they got many of the loose balls, the hustle plays, and that kind of offset what the size advantage would be. And again, it's not that the size advantage was irrelevant. Toronto was plus 7, but at least it wasn't plus 17 like we've been seeing lately, and that has a lot to do with guys like Austin Rivers getting 5 rebounds, but also as far as his ability to attack, the threes didn't fall. He still had 13 points, 6 assists because of what he was able to do off the dribble, breaking down the Toronto defense at will. PJ Tucker made 4 of his 8 threes, which is great. He also made 3 of his 4 shots inside the arc. Kenneth Faried, as a smaller Clint Capella, 8 of 11, all of his shots inside the arc, he converted. Eric Gordon seemingly couldn't buy a 3, just 2 of 13. But he was 8 of 22 overall, which tells you that he was 6 of 9 inside the arc, got to the line 6 times, and made all of those as well. And of course, James Harden got to the line 15 times and made all of those. This wasn't a win that the Rockets will look back on at the end of the year and say, wow, this was our formula. Because to beat the Golden State Warriors 4 times out of 7, of course you're going to have to make more threes. Of course you're going to have to be more steady in clutch moments. And some of that's probably going to coincide with the return of Chris Paul and Clint Capella. You probably need to rebound better as well. All of that goes without saying. The reason this is a win to celebrate is because right now, with the bodies the Rockets are without, any win is something to celebrate. And then when you beat a top-of-the-line team like this, it is incredible. You've now won 4 of 6 games in the absence of 2 of your big 3, which in a stretch where the Rockets would have been pleased, I think, just to survive, be around 500 through this 15 games, and that's still not a given, but since you've already gotten 4 and you have Chris Paul returning Sunday against Orlando, I think you can get greedy at this point and look for better than 500, but to be 4-2 through 6 games without Clint Capella and still not having Chris Paul back, yeah, I don't care who you play. That's a big deal. As I said the other night, when the Rockets scraped by against New York, any win, you'll take it. But on top of it, beating an upper echelon team like Toronto with Kawhi Leonard playing, I think that in the grand scheme, even if the formula isn't necessarily what you want to replicate, because the Rockets didn't make a lot of threes, they didn't have their full rebounding presence without Clint Capella, the late game miscues, so on and so forth, even if it's not the formula that you want to replicate in late May and June, the result is, and here's something to think about, upside wins matter. Because in a Western Conference that's this jam-packed, right now, the Thunder are the 3 seed with 18 losses, the Rockets in the 5 spot with 20, the 8 seed is the Clippers with 22 losses. You have 2-game separation between the 8 seed, the Clippers, and the 4 seed, the Blazers, in the loss column. 4 games between the 8 and the 3 seed. I don't know if anyone really believes in the Denver Nuggets, who are 31-15 in the 2 seed. In a Western Conference with this much parity, to where right now the Lakers with LeBron James on the outside playoff picture, the Kings, the Timberwolves, the Pelicans with Anthony Davis, all at least competitive, the Mavs with Luka much better than expected. It's not like even over 82 games, when you factor in the injuries, there's going to be a high degree of separation. So other than the Warriors, who appear to be the Warriors again, other than that, as far as the rest of the West goes, and for Houston, it's just about getting yourself one more chance in a 7-game series against Golden State in May, and let's see how the chips fall when that happens, if it does again. Maybe the Rockets are due for some good luck after what happened to Chris Paul with the 3-2 lead a year ago. In the absence of any real separation in the conference, what you want is a confidence, a belief, that even if you have to go on the road, even if these two teams over 82 games would seem to indicate that they're relatively similar, that there's a level that you can get to, that you can dig down and achieve, that the other team simply can't. And over the past month, this is Friday, January 25th, so a month ago was Christmas. That was the Oklahoma City game. Since then, the top 3 teams in the West, the Warriors on the road, the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Rockets have beaten them all. Then you look at the East, the Raptors, the Celtics, the Bucks, that's the 2 teams, or the 3 teams, excuse me, by differential that lead the Eastern Conference. And in the past month, the Rockets have beaten 2 of them. Now, I know the Celtics are actually technically fifth in the conference in standings, but they're only a couple of games back of the Pacers for the three spot, and the Celtics at plus 6.5 are actually second, trailing only Milwaukee by differential, so they're better than what their record would indicate. But the point is, between the Raptors, the Celtics, the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Thunder, that's five big boy wins for the Rockets in a month, and they didn't have Chris Paul for any of them. And in this game against Toronto, they also didn't have Clint Capella. So the fact that the Rockets have this level of confidence, that they believe that as long as they have James Harden, I've said all year long, you have James Harden, you have a chance, that they can dig deep and reach this level of play to where even against the league's upper echelon teams, you can win without your big guns. And by the way, against Golden State, they also did not have Eric Gordon. The same goes for the Denver game right after that. The fact that you can be missing at least one, and in many cases two, of your top four players and still post wins of that quality is staggering. Of course, it reflects James Harden's brilliance. The fact that guys like Kenneth Faried, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon played as well as they did on Friday night. Faried 21 and 14, PJ 18 points, 7-11 from the field, Eric Gordon 24 points, 8 of 22, Austin Rivers 13 and 6, 6 of 14 from the field. A lot of that reflects how much attention that James Harden is drawing from the opposing defenses. And it's not like James Harden is just a decoy. He's only putting up 35 and 7 while drawing all that attention and also making it easier for his teammates to get going. So that's why, even though it wasn't a formula that I think you would celebrate, they missed too many threes, the end of the game wasn't pretty, I don't care if you won it by 2 points, 121 to 119, as they did. I don't care if you won it 71 to 69. I don't care how ugly it was. To get a win like this against that caliber of opponent, again, the Raptors, even with the loss, 36 and 15, the most wins in the NBA, it's one you should be damn proud of, especially given the circumstances of this basketball team, the injuries, and beyond that, to see you beat an upper echelon team for the fifth time in a month, and in nearly all of them, having two of your top four players out, it's a reminder that this team, even if right now they're 28 and 20, they're in the five spot in the West, there's a lot of parity, there's a fifth gear, there's an extra dimension that the Rockets can hit that most other teams can't. I don't know if we call it the turbo nuclear button. Maybe we can against everyone other than the Warriors because Golden State has one of their own. But before the Rockets can get to facing Golden State in May, they've got to get through the rest of the West. And this is the kind of win, along with what else they've done over the past month since Christmas, that reminds you, and we can go back before Christmas even, that win they had on the 22nd over the Spurs, who have played phenomenal basketball over the past month plus, was very good as well. It reminds you that even with the 11-14 start, even with everything they've been dealing with, the Rockets, they still have an extra dimension, no matter how they have to get there. Tonight, they didn't even make threes. It took a lot of effort, hustle plays. Guys in Kenneth Faried and Austin Rivers, who 5 weeks ago weren't even a part of the team, doing the heavy lifting. At the same time, that's Rockets culture. And it starts with James Harden. That's the MVP. But collectively, don't let the fact that they missed some threes or that the last minute of the game got a little too hairy for your taste take away from what was an amazing victory. Do they have some things to clean up? Sure they do. But on the whole, this is a fantastic, fantastic win. There's some individual storylines we'll get to momentarily. But for now, savor it, Rockets fans. This one was special. Rockets 121, Raptors 119. Rockets improved to 28-20 on the year and are now somehow 4-2 in their first six games without Clint Capella. So, jumping back into our usual 3 points recap, on Friday night, this time of the 121-119 win, the Rockets somehow posted over the NBA leading Toronto Raptors, at least in terms of victories at Toyota Center. Houston with the win improves to 28-20. Toronto falls to 36-15 after the 121-119 defeat. And we spent the first segment largely talking about the significance of the win as a whole for the Rockets. Despite the fact that the last minute was ugly, despite the fact that they shot just 10 of 46 from three, despite the fact that James Harden was just 9 of 25, 35 points below his recent binge, which culminated with 61 points in Madison Square Garden on Wednesday night, just 2 of 13 from 3, out-rebounded 47-40. Somehow the Rockets made enough energy plays that they got the win anyway. And I thought it was important to start off with the team impact because some wins are bigger than others, and when you defeat the team with the most wins in the association, that's a big deal. But as far as the individual storylines go, yes, the role players stepped up. But I'm sure some of you will look at this box score and say, how in the world did the Rockets, a team whose formula, especially since losing Clint Capella, has been taking 68, 73s, how do they make just 10 threes? They couldn't buy a look. Harden was off. They got out-rebounded, albeit by only 7 instead of 17, which has been much of the case lately. And yet, they beat the team that entered Friday, and still has, the league's most wins. And even though other guys were slightly more efficient in terms of their shooting numbers, it was still James Harden. First off, a relative off night, 35 points, 7 assists, 9 of 25 shooting. But the reason that James Harden's night was such a big deal, well, there's a couple of reasons. First, defensively, he always held his own. The Raptors have a lot of length on the offensive end. Harden all night, I thought, was a good post defender. Then when it really mattered, the Raptors got the ball down 2 in the last 10 seconds. Kawhi had the ball initially against Tucker. The Raptors forced the switch. Harden did a beautiful job of initially denying Kawhi on the drive, although that's not really what he wanted. Kawhi pushed off, and then because Harden had the leverage, Kawhi ended up forcing up an air ball in which all of his body movement was away from the bucket. Perfect anticipation by Harden. As he said after the game, he knew that Kawhi would go for the 3, and he forced Leonard into a very difficult shot, and the Rockets got the win. So even though Harden was not making plays on the offensive end of the floor, he didn't let that take a toll on his defensive effort. But the other thing that I think is noteworthy in this game, this was the Spurs defense that gave him so much trouble in the playoffs 2 years ago. And the reason I think this is especially appropriate to call it the Spurs defense, beyond the fact that the Raptors just have a lot of length overall, it's the fact that the two guys who spent the most time guarding James Harden one-on-one, Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, yeah, those were the two guys that covered him in that 2017 playoff series in which Harden and the Rockets seemed to run out of gas and, more importantly, out of answers by the end of that series. And when I think back to historic parallels to this game, I'm not going to compare it to a playoff game, but I can think of one good and one bad game that, when we saw the Toronto defense that Nick Nurse employed in the first half, that this reminded me of, other than any direct 2017 playoff comparisons, because again, the playoffs are inherently a little bit different. Everyone's intensity is turned up a bit more. The most recent was the Milwaukee Bucks earlier this month. I believe that was on the 9th when the Rockets, they lost that game. That was the Giannis, the Greek Freak, MVP showdown, 116-109. Harden in that game, he scored 42, but he shot 30 times, making 13 of them, had 9 turnovers. In the second half of that game, the offense got very sticky. Harden had, I believe, 25 in the first half, but late in the game, the threes stopped falling. He seemed a little bit tentative about what he should do offensively. And overall, the offense bogged down due to predictability. In some instances, Harden forced the issue. That's reflected in the turnovers. In others, he looked tentative to try the mid-range game himself or to trust anyone else. Well, there were two big differences tonight. Number one was the presence of Eric Gordon. Now, they didn't have Chris Paul, but at least they had Eric Gordon, which they did not have either of those guys against Milwaukee. And Gordon, even though he shot well below average himself from 3, 2 of 13, also like Harden, he was 8 of 22, which tells you he was 6 of 9 inside the arc, so Harden could trust him as an attacker. And also, James trusted his own floater more, which after a slow start, he ended up making 7 of 12 from inside the arc, also got to the line 15 times, and made all of those. So 7 of 12 inside the arc and 15 of 15 from the free throw line, that's impressive. Also had only 4 turnovers, which considering the usage that James gets over 40 minutes in a high leverage game like this, that's a pretty big deal in terms of minimizing possessions that you give away. Rockets as a team only had 12 turnovers, and of course that reflects how the Rockets overcame some of these other statistical deficiencies that we've been discussing. The fact that they made the hustle plays, they limited the giveaways other than the last minute of the game, which was baffling, but they'll go back to the film room. I don't know that there's much more to say about that other than they have things to clean up. They're baffling, and I think the Rockets are more aware than anyone of what they did wrong. It's just on them to fix it. To get back to my comparison, though, the other game that this reminded me of, and this was one of the only 9 regular season games that Kawhi Leonard played in a year ago, was December 15th of 2017, when the Rockets beat San Antonio 124-109 at Toyota Center, got up to a big lead early in the game, but the Rockets' high scorer in that game was 28 points from Chris Paul, who shot 10 of 18, also led the Rockets in field goal attempts, and was by far a team best, plus 29. And it was Chris Paul's willingness to probe and use the mid-range of the floor, all areas, because if you're going to use that Spurs defense, which against James Harden means not only contesting him on the perimeter with length, which with Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green makes it tougher for Harden to get the separation on his stepbacks, but also dropping that second big with length. Go back to the playoff series, it was LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol way back when, but we've seen the Bucks, the Raptors do it with their stable collection of young bigs in recent weeks. Well, when you're committing that kind of resources, you should be able to point to other guys on the floor who should be able to take advantage of leverage situations because they're playing 4-on-3 or 3-on-2 or whatever it may be. And in the case of the Rockets back in that San Antonio win, which was the same team that beat them in the playoffs just a few months earlier, they could lean on Chris Paul, and that's part of why they brought him in, that mid-range game, to get more diverse in their attack. Unfortunately, they don't have that right now. I think that would be the perfect antidote to the way that defenses defend Harden, that 2017 playoff Spurs defense. But just because you don't have Chris Paul doesn't mean you have to go away from that strategy altogether. And that's what we saw. Even though Austin Rivers and Eric Gordon could not buy a three, a combined 3 of 20, just 15%. The fact is, Rivers, 5 of 7 inside the arc. He did such a good job of probing, beating people off the dribble, also had 6 assists. Gordon, as mentioned, 6 of 9 off the bench. Saw a couple of smash Gordon jams in there as well. The fact is, the best way when teams defend James Harden that way, even as good as he is, if you have length like Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, along with the size they have on the interior, you don't need to let James Harden shoot 35 times and handle the ball every possession. Not even James Harden is capable of winning that kind of game against that kind of opponent by himself. He's got to have help. And against the Bucks earlier this month, to some degree, I think without Eric Gordon, and that was the first game we saw Austin Rivers really struggling with his fingers. Maybe the Rockets just didn't have the horses. But generally speaking, the way to unlock that kind of defense, you have just got to trust your teammates. Ideally, that would be Chris Paul. Hopefully that starts to happen when he's back on Sunday. But in the meantime, the best way to win is to trust your teammates and hope that they can step up. And despite the fact that Harden's teammates have not been generally good enough of late, Harden didn't let that bother him. And one of the best things he did tonight, he trusted them. And boy, were they able to reward him. Again, Austin Rivers, Eric Gordon, even if Harden wasn't that efficient himself, 35 points, 7 assists. Again, everything is relative to his recent pace of scoring about 45 points a game over the last 10 games or so. The fact is, to beat that kind of defense, he knows that he can't do it alone. Kudos to James that even with a recent game in Madison Square Garden scoring 61, he did not try to play hero ball. He trusted in his teammates, and even on a night that they couldn't buy a three, that trust paid off as the Rockets got the win. So kudos to James for proving that he can win in different ways, not just dominating as a scorer, but also understanding intellectually what the defense is giving him and the way to attack that defense. Sure, he hit a couple of threes. He made only two, but they did come at key points. But beyond that, sure, he made some plays off the drive. It's not like 35 points come easily, but he also showed a willingness to defer and take what the defense was giving him. And that's what true MVPs, true elite players do. So in this case, even though he scored just 35 points and had just 7 assists, I really thought James anticipated and read this basketball game very, very well tonight. And James, 35 points, 7 assists, but it was really beating the Toronto Raptors, team of the league's most wins, and closing it out on defense too. Let's not forget that. In many ways, that might have been just as much of a signature Harden MVP moment for this season as 61 he put up in Madison Square Garden. Yet again, salute to James. Final thoughts as we close out Friday night's recap of the 121-119 victory the Rockets posted over the Raptors. Spent a lot of time discussing the significance of the win for a team. Also, James Harden, 35 points, 7 assists. Trusting his other guard playmakers to unlock that playoff Spurs defense with Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green on the perimeter, the stable of athletic bigs near the rim. The last point I believe we should make, and we've already done it to some extent, look at the help he got. So much of the storyline after 61, what Harden put up Wednesday in Madison Square Garden was the Rockets only won by 4 without James doing this. Okay, well, Harden scored just 35 on 9 of 25 shooting, and they beat a Toronto team that had the most wins in the NBA at 36 entering Friday night. And a lot of it had to do, Austin Rivers and Eric Gordon, two other guards. That's a lot better than what Harden's had for a lot of this month. They combined for 37 points, even though they couldn't buy a three, just three of 20. They were excellent inside the arc. Rivers, 5 of 7. Gordon, 6 of 9. They attacked. They broke down the defense. Rivers had 6 assists. Between them, they had just 3 turnovers, so they took care of the ball. But up front, P.J. Tucker, we got on him for his mental mistakes late in the game against New York. He responded with 18 points, 7 of 11 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3. His defensive energy, his hustle was fantastic, had 4 steals. I thought, overall, this was one of his better defensive games of the year. You really like the matchup of PJ with his physicality, his toughness, his combination, I would say, of that toughness with his ability to move. He's one of the better defenders for Kawhi Leonard in the game. I thought that was on display on Friday night, forced him into a lot of tough shots, even though Kawhi did end up with 32 points, 7 rebounds, 11 of 19 shooting. That's just because he's an insanely good player. He's really good for a reason, and he had 4 nights off, very rested going into this. I thought PJ's effort overall, his motor, was as good as it's been in a while, and it was particularly great to see him rebound from that off night he had in New York and take the bull by the horns in terms of turning his season around. Not that it was going the wrong direction after just one bad minute, especially in the game the Rockets won, but you always want to see what someone does when they face their first bit of personal adversity. Well, PJ handled it very, very well. But the real story for the Rockets, starting at the center spot now in 38 minutes, second most minutes on the team behind only Harden himself, Kenneth Faried, 21 points, 14 rebounds, 8 of 11 from the field, 2 blocks in pure manimal form. And this was the guy, just imagine what you can do when you have him in fewer minutes. What really stood out to me in this game, when you look at Faried's 21 and 14, it's not just the numbers. How many of them came through sheer hustle plays? The fact that he was willing to throw his body around, that he was willing to get out in transition. There was one sequence in the second half where Harden just had a filthy transition pass to Faried for the layup because he's willing to run. And that's with him playing 38 minutes, which is a really high workload. Imagine what you can do when you can combine Clint Capela and Kenneth Faried, maybe even dial down Capela's minutes a bit from the mid-30s to low-30s. And so, let's say optimally, you have Capela at about 32 minutes and Faried about 16. That would be incredible. 48 minutes at the center spot of that level of hustle and energy. Even if you have a poor shooting night like the Rockets did tonight, and that's what you stand out, even without Chris Paul, even with their injuries, the Rockets shot 10 of 46 from 3. They still beat the team with the most wins in the NBA, even without Chris Paul and Clint Capela. That's what can happen when they play with that level of effort, that level of hustle and focus, and of course, the presence of the MVP in James Harden. Their foundation, when they are locked in defensively, when they hustle and they have James Harden, is that good that even when some of the supporting cast aren't there, even when the threes aren't falling, that's what this team's upside is. That's why we said earlier, upside wins matter. And part of it, it's the hustle formula. And Faried is a big part of that. Can he do 21 and 14 every night? I don't know about that. But the fact is, beyond just his ability to step in and be a Band-Aid, as we talked about off the top, the Rockets are now 4-2 in this expected 15-game stretch without Clint Capela. That gets them a huge initial step in terms of surviving that stretch, if not overachieving it. But beyond that, even when they're healthy, imagine when you can combine this version of Kenneth Faried with Clint Capela, even dial down Capela's minutes a bit, so that you can have peak hustle at the center spot for 48 minutes a game, even when your threes aren't falling, even if you are a bit too turnover prone, some of the issues we've seen for the Rockets throughout this year. If you can have that level of motor, that ability on offense to finish the lob game, coordination around the rim, defensively to hustle, to get the boards, throw your body around, the athleticism to recover, get the shot blocks, that is a potentially fantastic combination. Not saying there's no role for Nene. There are going to be some matchups where 36-year-old Nene, you like his power game. But in many ways, it's reminiscent of the Rockets from 3 years ago when they had Capela, Nene, and Montrezl Harrell right before his breakout, all available, and you could mix and match depending on the night. The Rockets didn't like the fact that they had to throw in Montrezl Harrell into the Chris Paul trade and do it at the last minute just to make the math work. And of course, it was worth it because that's Chris Paul. But in a perfect world, you would have kept Montrezl Harrell. Well, now it feels like you have Montrezl Harrell back in Kenneth Faried. And one of the more exciting parts, it's not just that Faried can help you survive without Clint Capela. Of course he can. I've been talking about that on this show for a while. But beyond just what he can do in this stretch in which you don't have Clint Capela, which is certainly keep you afloat, especially in the more athletic matchups, just imagine what he can do when you get Clint Capela back. And you can make this rotation 9 deep, including 2 centers that give you 48 minutes of relentless motor. That is why this team has as much upside or more than any team other than maybe Golden State. That gets back to the theme expressed right off the top, and that's where I'll leave you guys tonight. Upside wins matter. These impressive wins the Rockets continue to pull off against the league's upper echelon teams, they mean a whole heck of a lot. And Kenneth Faried showing you this kind of dimension, it's a big deal for now, and it might even be a bigger deal later when you can combine him with Clint Capella at the five spot and have literally 48 minutes a night of that level of energy, and who knows, perhaps even more. Because I'm sure Faried had to conserve a little bit in 38 minutes. Just imagine what he can do if you hold him back and are able to split those minutes more equally between Kenneth Faried and Clint Capella. That's how good this Rockets team can be down the line, especially when you get, as mentioned, Capella back, Chris Paul back beginning Sunday, and dare I say, at some point, even Daniel House back. I know that sounds a little bit greedy, but at some point, that should happen. If the Rockets are beating teams like the Toronto Raptors right now, just imagine what they can do when they have a full deck later on this season. So on that positive note, that's where I will leave you on this Friday evening as we culminate our recap of the 121-119 victory the Rockets posted over the Raptors. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for listening. And if you want more content before our next episode, which will be Sunday night, breaking down Rockets Magic, the next game on the Rockets slate, and as of now, the expected return date for Chris Paul, the best place to get it before then is on Twitter. You can find me on there at Ben Dubose, the show on there at Locked On Rockets, and also don't forget our Locked On NBA Net curated feed that's on Twitter and Instagram, host including myself across our Locked On Podcast Network, covering all of the NBA's 30 teams. So if you want insight about the Rockets or about who they're playing or just insight on everything else going on around the association, check out that Locked On NBA Net handle on Twitter and Instagram. Also, if you've not subscribed to the podcast already, please do. You can find this on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. The odds are you can find us on that platform and many others because of our widespread distribution with the Locked On Podcast Network. So subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. That's how you can get episodes even before I post them to my Twitter feed. They'll be sent right to you. And that's how we get the benefit with your subscription and hopefully your 5-star review of looking attractive to potential advertisers and remaining the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, beyond just simply helping us look attractive to advertisers, if you would like to advertise your own business yourself, please reach out to me at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. We've got some nice introductory specials. So if you would like to be an advertiser yourself and keep this podcast going, please don't hesitate to reach out, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. One final plug before we sign off, mention how you can listen to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, the podcast platforms of the world. If you listen to us through voice assistant providers or through smart speakers, you can find us that way as well. Our most recent episode, just say play podcast Locked On Rockets, and you can find our most recent podcast right here at Locked On Rockets that way, in addition to your normal platforms. Once again, the very happy final Friday night from Toyota Center. Rockets 121, Raptors 119. Rockets have now won 4 of 6 games without Clint Capella. They've won 18 of 21 games at Toyota Center, and somehow they have won 17 of their last 23 coming off that dreadful 11-14 start. And in the past month since Christmas, they've beaten 5 of the top teams in the NBA, including the Warriors, the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Raptors, and the Celtics. So on that positive note, enjoy your weekend and come back soon and enjoy more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.